listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is time for the Daily Lectionary, underwritten by Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Our guest pastor joining us by phone today, Pastor Mark Grunst from Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. Pastor Grunst, welcome to His Time.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Looking forward to studying God's Word with you today and learning a little bit about Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. Tell us about Mount Olive.
Mount Olive is located in Billings, Montana, the largest city in Montana of about 100,000 people. And it has been here since 1959, 1960, when the building was originally built. And there has been additions to it for education purposes and a new sanctuary. It's been a very vibrant congregation all along. And it has quite a bit to offer, I think, because not only worship services and such, but also we have a preschool through eighth grade school as well, too. It's a classical Lutheran education that is very good, I think.
Well, thanks be to God for the ministry of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, that you're there proclaiming the good news of Jesus and the opportunity to teach people of all ages in the Word of God. And that's what we're doing today. We're studying God's Word, John chapter 6, verses 41 through 59. Pastor, what would you like for us to know as we prepare to study this text?
The very first thing that I think has to be very clear is that when John is writing his gospel, he is talking about God in the flesh, the Word made flesh. And everything that he lays out before us in the rest of his gospel is done to emphasize that here is your God in Jesus Christ. And that is foundational. That seems to be the item that is argued against very often when Jesus comes into the presence of those who oppose him. But he's trying to get them to understand and also therefore to believe your God came down to you in me, and here I am standing right before you as your Savior. So I think that's very foundational right there.
Well, very good. John chapter 6 is what we're studying today with Pastor Mark Grunst from Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. Let's take a look at this text. We'll read a little text and then we'll go back and look at it more in-depthly. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." All right, so the Jews grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They don't like talking about bread from heaven, huh?
Yeah, bread from heaven, especially when you see him in flesh and blood before your very eyes. It would be like, this does not make any sense. How can this be? And they are reacting because they know him from the standpoint of his father and mother, as they said, the son of Joseph. And for anybody to go around saying concepts or statements that I am from heaven would seem to indicate that you are talking about yourself as God. And therefore, we don't see it that way. We know who you are. We know where you live. We know what you do. And therefore, you now say you have come down from heaven. This doesn't seem to make any sense at all. And therefore, they grumbled against him.
Well, this claim to be from heaven, this claim to be bread from heaven, to be, well, to be God is, well, in their eyes, I suppose, blasphemous.
Yes, exactly. In fact, later on, we realize that when Jesus was on trial before the high priest, that that's exactly what they got him on. When they made him swear to tell if he was the Son of the Most High, Jesus had to tell the truth, since obviously he is the truth, and he says, I am. Well, at that point, he speaks in such a way that they know precisely that he is saying, I am God. And because of that, any man that would have said that he was God was guilty of blasphemy, and yet when Jesus speaks the truth, the law condemns him, and thus they condemn him too. But he does speak the truth when he says, I am God.
They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? He's a human being. How can he say he came down from heaven?
Yep. Jesus probably raised as any other Jewish boy in a household that would have been taught how to recite the scriptures and therefore learn what the scriptures are all about. And therefore, Joseph would have done a very good job of teaching Jesus and helping him to be nurtured and grow in the wisdom of God and thus his word. Jesus does know and comes to an understanding that he truly is that fulfillment of that word. And yet he identifies so very closely with Joseph and Mary. And thus you have the contrast or the tension between the people that see and know who he is versus him seeing and know who he is based on the scriptures.
And Jesus answered them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day.
Yeah, the Father always speaks the truth through his prophets of old, and therefore it is also spoken of that way. They will all be taught by God. And here what hurts them, the Jews that are listening, is that they don't believe in him. Therefore, they also have to make the connection by what Jesus told them. If the Father doesn't draw you, you will not believe in me. And that was the sting, because they didn't believe in him. And it was such that he was putting his finger right on the heartbeat of their unbelief. And that's what really got them very angry and continued to reject him.
It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life.
Mm-hmm. And that's a magnificent insight into the triune God. The only one that has seen the Father is the very one that he sent to be the Savior of the world. And because he has seen the Father, he knows that he has come to be the Savior of everybody. And if that isn't believed or therefore cling on to that, then people are still floundering around trying to figure out what is the Father's love for me. And Jesus is very precise when he says, wait a minute, I know who the Father is, I've seen him, and therefore you see the gift of the Father in me.
I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die.
Yeah, fantastic. He goes back in history. They knew the history. They reviewed it. They rehearsed it. They understood it. They knew exactly what he was talking about. He didn't have to go to a commentary or to somebody else's explanation. They knew exactly what he was referring to. And when he refers to that, they also understand that they were blessed by God the Father in the Old Testament time with the bread that did come down from heaven, and that sustained them for over 40 years. But when he goes the next step of saying that this bread that you have right before you now, which is me, in me you will never die, that seemed to be such a contradiction to what they knew happened when they ate the bread from heaven before. They ate it and they died. So now you're coming and saying that if we have you, the living bread, we will never die? Well, that seems to be too impossible.
I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh.
Mm-hmm. The true essence of God is life. And if you compare the God of the Scriptures, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you will find that the very heartbeat of everything that he is about is life and life everlasting. Other religions, no matter what they may be, talk about life, but they don't talk about the God from the standpoint of him being the very essence of life. And when God comes into the picture, he brings life in and of himself. Therefore, when he sends Jesus to this world, he is giving the life that is truly the light to all men. And in Christ, there is no opposition that can defeat the fact that God has come to bring life, because he desires for people to live not only upon this world now, according to the days that he has numbered, but he also wants them to enjoy the fact that in Christ, that life continues for all of eternity.
Hmm. We're studying the daily New Testament reading with Pastor Mark Grunst from Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. We're in John chapter 6 today, verses 41 through 59. Before we go to a break, Pastor, anything else up through verse 51?
The emphasis here is that he is saying, I'm in the flesh. Here I am in the flesh. And this is the type of theme that he continues to bring out time and time again in the gospel according to John. So if you want to see God, look at Jesus Christ.
You're listening to the Daily Lectionary. I'm Andy Bates. We're studying with Pastor Mark Grunst from Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. We'll be back in just a moment here on His Time on Worldwide KFUO.
For most Americans, it's probably hard to imagine what it's like to grow up afraid of spirit living all around you. My name is Reverend Ted Nathalong, and as a Buddhist child in Thailand, I knew this fear. But then someone told me about Jesus Christ, and my whole world changed. You can be that someone who tells a child about Jesus by giving them a Bible storybook translated into their language by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. Learn how to help at lhfmissions.org.
Recently on Law and Gospel, we have made a point that many of the words we use in the world, God has a different meaning and definition when he uses them in the Bible. On the next broadcast for the second Sunday after Pentecost, we will take a look at the Old Testament reading to see just that.
Weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO.
Listening to the Daily Lectionary, underwritten by Lutheran Federal Credit Union. I'm Andy Bates. We are studying with Pastor Mark Grunst at Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. We're in John chapter 6 today, verses 41 through 59. Pastor, are we ready to go on to verses 52 and following?
That sounds very good.
All right, let's take a look. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. All right, the Jews disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?"
Mm-hmm. That should be looked at as a natural consequence of hearing something stated. And now they're trying to figure out which way do they receive this statement. Rabbinical teachings could give opinions or variances as far as how they would understand certain things based on the scripture. But when Jesus says very precisely that he is the living bread that came down from heaven, and that in him is life for the world, and it's in his flesh, then they are trying to figure this out. And notice that they're in the synagogue. In the synagogue, they converse, they would discuss, they would argue, and they would debate, what does this mean? So that's what they're trying to figure out. And that's why they say, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? It doesn't seem possible.
So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day.
Mm-hmm. Here is where John is coming right back to his very first chapter when he wrote the Word made flesh. And he is hammering home the idea that if you don't see God in the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ, then you don't understand and you will never appreciate real life and life everlasting. I wish I could quote exactly the reference point where I think Luther one time said, I see no other God except the man Jesus Christ in the flesh. That is a very important idea. You can talk about God generically. You can talk about God in general abstract terms. But all those basically fall into one basket of what does this mean? But Jesus answers the question of what does this mean by saying, here's God. I am here in the flesh. And therefore, if you don't see him in the flesh and blood, you won't understand what your God has done for you.
For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him.
Mm-hmm. This right here, quite often people will go to the Lord's Supper and talk about the body and blood of Christ, which I think is also true based upon the scripture, and therefore we should appreciate what he offers there. But if you don't believe that Jesus is the true God in flesh and blood, then you won't believe that he actually can offer it through the Lord's Supper for the forgiveness of sins. And if you really think about that, when Jesus went to the cross, he went there in flesh and blood. And in that flesh and blood, he died as the Savior of the world. And he died to redeem not only the spirit or the soul, as some people would say, but he died to redeem the entire person, both body and soul, together. Thus, when he died on the cross, he was laid into a tomb. And yet, on the third day, the Father raised him from the dead to indicate, once again, I have brought him to you for life and life everlasting. And you find it in Jesus Christ.
As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me.
Yeah, life. It just pops out at you all over the scriptures. Right at the very beginning of Genesis, what does God do? He brings into this creation life. Without him, nothing can exist. The book of Colossians tells us that Jesus is the very controlling factor of everything that exists. Without him, we simply would not exist. So why not, therefore, take it from the standpoint of this earth to understand the eternal life, too? The whole thing permeates with life and life everlasting. Jesus spoke this way to many people throughout the scriptures, always talking to them about the very fact, here is life, enjoy it in me.
This is the bread that came down from heaven. Not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever.
Yep. That is so comforting and consoling, because if you look at the description of manna that came down in the Old Testament, it was something that came down in the morning, disappeared when the sun came out, and yet was replenished every single day. And God was true to his word all the time for his people. Well, the same way is true with Jesus. When he says that he comes to bring life, and that abundantly, he is guaranteeing that if you feed upon him by faith in him, all these promises do and are becoming a part of your life, not just while you live upon this world in the days that God has numbered for you, but also in the anticipation of joining the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven and rejoicing in the very focus of life, Jesus Christ.
Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. Looking at go ahead.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah, I think that's a very important issue here. When Jesus is speaking these words of John chapter 6, 41 to 59, he's actually in a context of teaching. He would have been in the area where the men were listening. Other rabbis were also, therefore, focused upon him. And he was being very direct and very clear about what do we believe. And he was teaching them that. The hope would be is that then they would take that teaching from the synagogue and then permeate it into their households. But when he was there, he wasn't just being a Bible teacher. He wasn't there trying to impress them with some outlandish statements. He was very much there in their presence as their God. And therefore, that synagogue was a very, very rich time of teaching for those men that heard him speak.
Looking over the text as a whole, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn?
I think it should make us want to go forwards and backwards into the Gospel of John and to begin to diagram and put together all the richness that he has of pointing out who Jesus is. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the resurrection, the life. I am the living water. I am the living bread from heaven. All these different things to indicate, here's your God. And with that type of emphasis, appreciate the Gospel of John, that your God's in the flesh, and he's come to give you the greatest life of all.
We've been studying the daily New Testament reading with Pastor Mark Grunst from Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. Pastor Grunst, thanks for helping us study John chapter 6 today, verses 41 through 59.
You're very welcome. My pleasure.
God bless you and all the saints at Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. Coming up in just a little bit, more His Time to Sanctify Your Day. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO.